Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I want to welcome you to our Christmas to Remember show, or Remembering the Christmas of Our Youth show. This evening, we are going to take our virtual trip to Jamaica, like we always do, but this time, we're more in a celebration because those of us who grew up there know what it's like in December when the winds get a little chilly, and we call that breeze the Christmas breeze. So tonight, just picture the Christmas breeze blowing gently across your face as you settle into your favorite chair in the backyard. Now, it doesn't have to be in the backyard. It can be on the beach, in a hammock, on the roof, on the floor, wherever. But just be in that chilling mood like we'd be at the end of the day when we're just chilling out. So, tonight we have an exciting show because some of our guests that we've had on our shows are seniors that have shared their school experiences with us. Will be talking to us tonight about the old-fashioned Christmas that they remember when they were growing up. And, you know, one of the things I know that keeps our memory sharp is to go back down memory lane and try to recall events. You know, it really keeps us sharp. So I'm excited because as I hear the stories, it triggers my memories about what I can remember about when I was growing up there. And so much has changed for me, and I'm sure for most of the people online and listening on their computers. And I want to welcome everybody tonight. Unfortunately, I'm not able to interact with you if you're listening on your computer, but please call in at 718-766-4558 if you would like to join the Labrish at any time, because as you know, the Labrish is participation. We're all talking at the same time, sometimes in the old days, but we all hear one another. So I'm getting in the Christmas mood, and I hope that you are too. So now that we have our favorite drink, and this time it could be that we're tasting the sorrel or the rum punch that we're making for the big week, and we've gone to a couple of office parties, or some parties are already going on, but tonight we're chilling. And I have been blessed to have a couple that has been our special guests to talk to us tonight about their Christmas experience, and then we'll have an open mic for anyone who would like to share a Christmas story, because remember, we are making this living legacy for the next generation, so that all those techie kids that we have now, the grandkids, you know, they will be able to find out a little bit about what happened when we were in Jamaica, even if we're not around. So I'm excited about that, because I do have three grandsons that are already on the computer, and they're quite young. So, you know, they're not going to be reading any material I might leave behind. So without any further ado, I want to open up the mic to our first speaker. He and his charming wife are going to start us off. And I am going to have him introduce himself. So I'm opening up the mic right now to 954-583. You're live. Good evening.
Hello, Margaret.
Backyard.
This is Carl.
All right. And tell the listeners where you're calling from, Carl.
Well, I'm calling from Plantation in Florida.
Oh, great. I mean, Plantation in Florida. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what you have to tell us about the Christmas now, Mr. Carl?
Okay. I'm going to talk about the period in the 40s.
All
when
right.
I was a young man living in Port Maria, St. Mary.
And I'm his wife. I'm on the line.
Wonderful. Okay, I heard in the background, ask her if she wants me to open the mic.
Yeah, anyway, at that time, Christmas meant to us, the most memorable thing that happened at that time was the Junkuno.
Mm.
You know, for months before, we'd hear the sound in the hills, chum-chum-chum-chum-chum-chum-chum-chum, as the Junkuno bands got themselves ready for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And once we heard that music coming from way up in the country, we knew that Christmas was near.
Right, right. Now, did you find that the weather changed too?
Well, as the years went by, I think that Christmas got a bit cooler.
Yeah.
I don't remember
it
being very cool in those days.
Right. I remember that there was just a change in the wind. You know, it was just...
Yeah,
it was
cold, but not as cold as it got at this stage.
Right, right.
And, of course, the most memorable thing I remember, at that time I was just about 10 years old, and the most memorable thing that was happening was that at the church where I went to, which was the St. Mary's Parish Church, we had a minister there, Reverend Ward, I think his name was, James, Reverend James. And he put on a Christmas cantata, which is a play.
I was longing to hear that word, because I don't think they're doing cantatas anymore.
Apparently not. But
right.
The cantata, we were all the kids who went to Sunday school participated in the cantata. And the memorable thing that I remember of all these years is that the cantata started up with everybody reciting the first chapter of John.
The whole chapter?
The whole chapter. Until this, they don't have to do it tonight. But the whole chapter, I remember it word for word.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, the whole chapter
and
of
you
John.
Were about 10?
About 10, yeah.
Now, does that mean that most of the participants were around the same age, or they were of mixed ages?
Well, mixed ages, you know, from younger to a little older. But
right.
Most, and there are adults who participated as well. But
right.
Every
one
night
of the
we all went down
I'm
to the church.
Is, you know, we get people who just love Jamaica, or they're visited. We have them come by and listen to the show sometimes. And I know that most... foreigners, not most, but a lot of foreigners just don't know what a cantata is.
Yes.
They think it's a food or something.
It was a tremendous performance.
Somebody that
you know, by
we
everybody.
Had a cantata, and they said, what's the recipe? Oh, that's one of my memories.
It reminds me, Margaret, of once a couple, English couple, asked my mother how she would make rice and peas. So she told her that one of the ingredients was to put some coconut milk in it. I said, okay. So they broke the coconut and poured the water in the mixture.
All right. Yes. So we have
that
to educate
because the difference is completely.
Yes, we have to educate the foreigners a little bit about what a cantata is. So how would you describe a cantata?
Well, it was a Christmas oriented play.
It's like
in which
a musical
everyone from the church, old and young, participated.
Right.
And you know, it was performed in its finality on Christmas Sunday.
Ah. So you had segments of it before Christmas Sunday, or that was the whole thing was done at once?
It was done on Christmas Sunday, but there might have been other performances afterward, but the whole aim was getting it together so it could perform on Christmas Sunday.
Okay. Uh-huh. And that day everybody dress up to come to church?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And, of course, the participants had costumes, you know.
Uh-huh.
Simple costumes by what you could come by. And that was it, really. That was the biggest thing. Of course, my grandmother, who was a very good baker, she would bake some superb Christmas cakes.
The black cake, the rum cake.
Yeah, the black cake, yes.
Yes,
and we look forward to having the black cake and the sorrel.
Uh-huh.
At Christmas time. It was a big thing.
Right,
and the thing I remember about Christmas in those days too was the ripe breadfruits.
Breadfruits. Ah, I didn't remember that.
Yeah, man, breadfruit was ready. So it means like on Christmas morning, we'll have a breakfast large of salvia and ackee and breadfruit.
Right, I was reading somebody saying that today. Now let's get back to the church service. Approximately how long the cantata would be?
I would think it would be an hour or two, maybe over an hour.
Uh-huh.
Maybe
all
an
right.
Hour and a half.
Right. Mm-hmm. People, now, did they have intermission?
Yes, I remember they did have.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't remember much about that. And how
yeah,
long
as we talk, more things are coming to me, you know? More
right.
details
well,
that, are coming
that's
to me.
Really, I tell people the purpose of this interaction, because I'm sure some of the people listening online, as we're talking about this cantata, if any of them participated in it or, you know, went to a service where it was performed, memories are coming back to them. And that's why, you know, I continuously get letters from people who listen sometimes after the show, you know, at their convenience, and they're saying, oh, you know, I remember this because of that. So I try to expand what you're trying to say, even from my own memory.
Of course, of
because
course.
Because I remember how I described it when this person was asking me if it's a food, is like a production, almost like a play.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all about the birth of Christ, right?
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
And then we would act parts out and sing. I remember there was a lot of singing. It was almost like you would sing some of the scripture verses or whatever.
Absolutely,
so
yes.
Almost
yes,
like
that,
an
that,
opera.
That was so. That was
right.
So, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. And was there food and all of that in the church afterwards?
Yes, yes. We had refreshments. I remember it.
Oh,
no.
And you remember what the food would be?
My wife keep on saying what some of the food might have been cheese crunches. We didn't know cheese crunches in those days. We knew coconut biscuits.
No, we didn't. She must be really young.
We had my grandmother made the best coconut biscuits. We should make on a commercial basis and distribute them to little shops around.
So a commercial biscuit was just like a hard biscuit?
It's a hard
like
biscuit.
A
later on it was called jackass corn.
Ah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'm familiar with that. It's like a cupcake?
No. This is a flat coconut cake.
Oh, okay.
It's like a biscuit. It's a biscuit, really. It's a biscuit.
It's round?
Round, yes.
Ah. Oh, is that what they call bus major?
No, that's a different thing. The Buster Joyride is something that was called Bustamante Backbone, which is like a sweet.
Right.
And maybe the coconut also.
Church would be just one of the activities that you would participate on.
Oh yes, but in that era, there was not a lot of, for example, not a lot of toys and stuff around. People had to improvise things to make the kids happy. And
they made toys.
At Christmas time, we would probably get new clothes. Look forward to getting a new pants or shirt or whatever the case might be. But there weren't a lot of toys. I mean, ready-made toys in that rural setting.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So did you make your own toys? What did you do in
yes,
all
that? Yes, we made little things. We made flying off kites was very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Because at
especially
that time it was very
Christmas.
Windy. And we made these coats, these kites, were made, the frame of it was made with bamboo, shaved down to very, very thin. And then we made the kite and pasted cellophane paper. Tissue paper, different colors on the kites.
Mm-hmm.
But kites was a big thing at Christmas time. Every kid had a kite. And those who didn't have a kite that they could make up would make a kite by using a leaf of an exercise book and boring the coconut bones through it.
Ah, yes. Now that you come
that's
to say
that.
That's
make a little kite.
And put on a tail.
A tail, right. And, of course, we didn't know anything about glue. We used flour paste to paste it together and starch.
Right. Well, that was our glue.
Yes.
We just didn't call it glue, but that was awesome.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's all coming back to me very vividly as we speak.
Oh, great. Isn't it wonderful to go down memory lane?
I am telling you, it's thrilling. It's really thrilling.
When I tell
people I'm going to be talking about Christmas, I say, look, I've got a script, you know. Well, I'm going to just talk about what I know and what I remember.
Right.
So I don't have a prayer to prepare myself. My mind is there. I talk to some people and they sort of help me put together some of my thoughts. But,
I'm
talking about my experiences, they're easy to talk about.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, let's move from 10-year-old and church to teenager. Do you remember anything?
Well, I'm
going to
get my wife. She had a little one for the 50s.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Right, first you have to introduce yourself, Miss Laura, so the
introduce yourself.
Who you are.
Miss Laura?
Yes, I can hardly hear you. Are you on a speakerphone?
Please, this phone, sweetie.
Yeah. Are you hearing me now?
A little better. Now you're gone.
Laura, come and use this phone, darling. Okay. Use this one.
Well, let me just tell the listeners that this is Laurel and Carl Bell Navis, who have been both of them have been our guests about their individual high school days. Is she there yet?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, all right. Well, welcome to the backyard.
Thank you.
And compliments of the season, as we usually say in the old days.
Thank you, and the same to you. Yes, my recollection, first of the thing, we did not have the resources to get ourselves a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, whatever tree was available, the limb of a mango tree, a guava tree, or a calabash tree, whatever it was, we could get a branch, and we decorate it with... what is that? Crepe paper.
No,
it was crepe. The crepe paper and balloons, because we didn't have lights.
Now, what part of the island did you grow up?
I was between Guy's Hill.
Which is
and,
in what part?
That's in Catherine.
Okay.
Yeah, St. Catherine, and then my teenage years, some of them were in the Cayman Islands, and then the later years was in Mandeville, West Indies College.
I see.
And Well, West Indies College, we did not. I did not stay on campus for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
There was
you
one.
You went home to St. Catherine.
Yes, I went home to St. Catherine or to the Cayman Islands.
Right. Well, let's talk about the St. Catherine part of it.
Okay. We used whatever it was to make a little Christmas tree. And I do recall at the time I lived with my stepmother, they did not believe in Christmas, so there was no celebration there, so to speak.
All right.
And
well,
at
you,
the time I was probably
why
about...
Why they didn't believe in Christmas?
Adventists.
Okay.
They were
all
Adventists.
Right.
They didn't really celebrate it for religious reasons.
Okay,
but I do recall when I was probably about 10... Oh, my goodness, one Christmas Eve night I wanted a doll so badly. But I had learned how to pray. And I prayed and prayed to God all night, and I couldn't sleep because I kept looking at the window, hoping that
this
Santa
Claus... This is Christmas
Claus,
Eve.
Christmas Eve. Hoping that Santa Claus would come in and bring me a doll. Well, unfortunately, I didn't get it. However, I do recall the yard that I lived further down from us, there was a family. And they gave me a little gift.
Huh.
And I was so excited about this little gift because it was wrapped up in the present paper, Christmas paper.
Uh-huh.
Carefully opened it. And it was a socks and a pair of socks and a pair of ribbons. In those days, we wore ribbons in our hair.
Right.
And I was so very excited to get the little gift that after I took out the contents of the package, I folded up the paper so neatly and kept it for weeks.
Oh, wow.
I was so excited to get this little present.
Oh, that is so special.
Yes.
And mostly because your family didn't celebrate Christmas.
No, they did. They did not celebrate Christmas.
So what? When a family does not celebrate Christmas, what do they do on Christmas Day? Do they do anything special?
No, absolutely nothing special.
Just another day.
Just
you know, that's something I've never really thought about because to me, growing up, Christmas was the happiest time of my life. And to this day, I'm almost 77.
I love Christmas.
I'm a big Christmas girl. I mean, all week I've been decorating and singing and dancing all over the house and going through all the little decorations. And I'm like a kid again. So
yes, absolutely.
Just as you said that, I realized that I never ever thought that there were families in Jamaica who never celebrated Christmas. The thought never entered my mind.
Yeah. I wanted it. Yeah, wanted it so very badly. However, my aunt had traveled to Kingston, and fortunately she came back in January, and she brought me a doll.
No, did she know you wanted a doll?
No. I just
well, God really answered your prayers, and there
God answered my prayer. God answered my prayer, and I got
see what I mean.
Doll
there is
in
a
January.
Cause.
I was so excited.
Oh,
and
I
my
can hear the excitement
back.
Still.
Yeah, the
remember
first
what the doll looked like?
Yes, I remember. I remember that the top of the doll was like a wax head, right up to the neck. And it had, like, wax hands and feet, but the body of it was, like, fabric. Like, it was stuffed with straw or something.
Right. I remember those dolls.
And
in those
days, I used to bite my nails. The first day that I got the doll, I bit her nails.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that something?
I bit the doll's nails, and when they found out, I got a whooping, and they took away the doll from me for weeks, because I thought the nails would grow back.
That's funny. The innocence of a child is now wonderful.
The innocence of a child.
That's why I said sometimes we have to be children again.
Absolutely.
That is a great story.
Yes.
Did your dog
yes.
have a name?
I don't remember. I really don't remember, but I do recall making clothes for her.
Yeah, I do recall making
clothes for her. I can remember her quite. And I don't know if you recall those dolls. They had the wax head and the arms and the legs, but
right.
the body
yes,
of
I
it.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I do remember them. Yes, yes.
Yeah. And
they were imported. You know, we did, even though in the old days, America never traded with China or Hong Kong.
Uh-huh.
But because Hong Kong belonged to the British in the old days, we always got things that were made in a foreign country. And those dolls were, they were even some with China heads. You know, they were solid. Not wax, but solid. I remember those because, you know, I had sleeping dolls with the eyelashes.
Yes, with the eyes.
Yes, yes, yes. I remember those because my mother was a big person with Christmas and Christmas market. I grew up in Kingston. So went to the Christmas market, and I still have memories of that. And I'm talking to you now, and I can remember my favorite part of Christmas is the aroma, the cooking, you know, all the different spices, the rum and the cake and everything all mixed into one. I've always had a keen sense of smell. And believe you me, when I go down memory lane, I can almost taste the smell in my mouth. You know, because you get your mouth water when you think of the smell. So my favorite part of Christmas is the aroma in everybody's house. And there were special flowers or plants that bloomed at Christmas time. I know the sorrel was one of them. And Google peas came out and things like that. But there were certain flowers that, you know, their aroma was so wonderful that I just went to a different place at Christmas time. I was in another zone. And I can remember them vividly. And really, really, I am a big Christmas person. So
I love Christmas.
Go back to what you said, you know, I never, ever in all of my life thought about people who didn't celebrate Christmas. I know that here in the United States and, you know, foreigners, there are certain foreign people that don't. But in Jamaica, never crossed my mind. So I'm glad that you brought that out. Another thing is, I just wanted to ask you that from my own curiosity. Mm-hmm. So you did not do anything special in that religion? Do you do anything special to celebrate anything?
No, they just had absolutely not. They didn't celebrate Easter because they felt that it was pagan religion.
Oh well, I don't. Yeah, I'm not familiar with those. The concept of
right. What I do recall is one Christmas I stayed on campus. That's when I went to West Indies College. And what the faculty members did was to take out, each had a group of probably, say, 5 or 6 students, because very few students stayed on campus for the Christmas holidays. And they would take you to their home on Christmas Day, and you ate and ate. And if you could eat any amount that you want.
Oh, so the faculty was not necessarily of the religion.
No, but they did that. I do recall that.
That's wonderful.
You felt like
so at least you
never
got some Christmas food.
Anymore.
Right, you got some Christmas food.
And
well,
you
thank
got
you
some
so
protein,
much. That was a wonderful story.
The chicken and the beef and whatever, because the Seventh-day Adventist school did not serve beef and chicken and fish.
They're vegetarian.
When you went to a faculty member's house and you got like chicken or beef, wow, that was a treat.
Oh, it was Christmas, even if it wasn't Christmas.
Yes.
That is wonderful. Well, Laura, thank you so much for sharing that story.
Right, right. Come now, my husband is going to come in now.
All right, I see that five.
Me again. It's Carl again.
Beg your pardon, Carl. Just give me a
Carl
minute here.
Let
me welcome 561-278. I'm going to open your mic in a minute. 561. Let me hear from Carl again.
Yes. Margaret, it's Carl. I'm going to recall the time in the early 50s. At that time, I had left the country parts, and I was now a Kingston man or Kingston boy.
Okay.
And at that time, the most exciting part of it was the stalls, so to speak, that were erected down in the parade. That's
mm-hmm.
right in front of the cathedral facing
yes.
King Street.
Yes. Uh-huh.
There were a lot of little booths, little shacks erected right around the park.
Right.
In which the vendors decorated the very gaudy colors, and they sold the most interesting things.
Yes,
and
I used to be the market, we call it.
Yes. We used to come down, I mean, that would start from about the first week of December.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, it was so exciting. I mean, there was music playing, there was children buzzing around. Those who got their money early would come and buy things. I never got my little money until probably Christmas Eve.
Ah.
And they would go and buy little things like Christmas whistles and what
uh-huh.
we used to call clappers, which were
yes, I remember clappers, yes.
Firecrackers.
Uh-huh.
They came in a package. You could light one end of it and all of them would burst in sequence.
Ah.
And, of course, there was a bigger one that we called it Thunderbolts.
Yes, 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 I remember
and
that
And if you were
too.
Brave enough, you would light one in your hand and throw it.
Oh, my goodness.
Occasionally,
uh-huh.
they would burst in your hand, and that was trouble.
Right, right. Wow.
That was a lot of trouble. Or we would place it under a can and see
uh-huh.
it blow the can up in the air.
The air, yes, I remember that too.
Yeah.
And the smell of it, we always thought it was gunpowder.
It smelled like gunpowder, absolutely.
Right. Well, I don't know what gunpowder smelled like, but I will always
well, I think
say
I got
it smelled
like
gunpowder.
Of course,
oh,
in Kingston,
dear.
Things were quite a bit different from the country. Here were a lot of toys. I think most of the toys in those days came from Japan.
Yes, yes.
Little trains and little cars. And oh, I remember those were really wind-up toys.
Right, right.
They
didn't
have battery toys,
and
they were all wind-up.
Traded with Hong Kong at that time.
Yes, and they were all wind-up toys.
Right, right.
But we were very excited to have them.
Well,
of course,
I know
in
that,
and around
you
the community.
People became very creative and made toys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, making things
like
the
vendors.
Gigs which we call chops.
Yes.
We'd make those ourselves out of a piece of wood from a tree.
Right, right, right.
And stick a nail in the bottom of it and then put a cord around it.
Yes,
and
yes.
And throw it out. Those are popular.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And of course, in those days, it was very popular to have sorrel drinks at home.
Uh-huh.
We'd make sorrel. And one thing I remember very distinctly was the fact that every home, regardless of how poor they were, they'll put up a new set of curtains for Christmas.
Ah, that's what
everybody
put
up a curtain.
Spring cleaning here. We had Christmas cleaning before the holidays.
Yeah, and any cloth they bought the cloth and sewed the curtain themselves.
Right.
And hung them Christmas Eve night. Every house was involved in hanging these curtains.
Yep, everything was spanking new.
Right. And then, of course, remember the painting of the trees with the white lime.
Right, white wash.
We'd paint the bottom, it was white lime, actually. And
yes.
we would paint also the curb on the street
uh-huh.
with the white lime.
Right, right. Now, when you were in Kingston, were you with your family? I see five or six.
Oh, yes, yes. My mother and father were in Kingston.
Okay. I was holding for 516 and they just hung up. Anyway, if anyone would like to join the Labrish, you can hit 1 on your telephone and I'll be glad to open the mic to you. So we're going to be taking 561-278. Mm-hmm. Welcome
okay.
to the backyard. Who do I have?
You have Jenny Smith.
Hi, Miss Jenny. Good evening.
Good evening. I've been sitting here enjoying what I've been hearing. But when I spoke about the white lime, I have it jotted down here about the trees being where I lived in Negril, the coconut trees, you know, they have straight trunks. So they would white lime about 3-4 feet up. And every tree in your yard got that 2 or 3 coats of white lime. But also, we had stones around the flower beds. And the stones were white lime, too. And if the houses were up on blocks, the blocks were whitewashed. And when it was beautiful, especially if it's a moonlight Christmas. So he's really telling the facts of how it was. And he mentioned curtains. Now, we didn't know anything about Christmas trees and Christmas lights and all that. I can tell you that. I'm talking about in the middle, upper 30s and early 40s.
Uh-huh.
But what we did, they scrubbed the houses. They cleaned the walls. They cleaned every poor dust bunny fled. They went through, this is like 2-3 weeks before Christmas, that cleaning up. And who could afford it with paint? The windows were clean. The glasses were sparkling. And new curtains.
Uh-huh.
New curtains. He is so right. New curtains went up. Those who could, I don't know if they had any ready-made curtains, but we would buy lace or pretty cotton muslins and seersuckers. And they made curtains and they made bedspreads.
Uh-huh.
But that was the decoration. The houses were cleaned. The floors were polished and shunned. And the curtains and the bed things. And young girls were busy stitching up tablecloths and placemats and embroidering things.
Embroidering, yes.
Yeah, we did a lot of that. Who could crochet?
What is the name of that
crocheting
embroidery thread? It came on a long thing with a little black thing around it.
With a little black thing, a skein of thread. You're right.
Yes, yes,
and
yes. I remember that.
What,
and it's beautiful. Color.
Yes, beautiful. I still have some of it. Believe me, I still have
some.
I don't know. I was hoping to teach my granddaughters, but they say, but Grandma, we can buy it. So that was what I got recently. Crocheting the same, but we made our doilies and, you know, the antimacassars for the chairs and all the rest of it. So that was our decorations for Christmas. We cleaned up the houses. Do you want me to go on?
Yes, yes. I don't see any other hands, so you can go on.
Okay. Well, he was talking about the smells. Somebody's mentioned the smells of Christmas.
Right.
Down in Negril, where I spent my early years, food was the big thing. We had the ladies who made peppermint candy, you know, where they boiled the sugar and added the peppermint. And I don't know how they managed, because that thing was hot, but they flung it onto a nail and beat it and until it could stretch, and they would twist it, that kind of candy. Well, Christmas Eve was the candy making day, especially. Some people made their living every Friday. They would make the candy and sell, but they had to make extra candy at Christmas time. And the candy was one thing. And then baking. I remember between like from late October, November, my mother was putting up fruit. Because I think the only thing they could buy would be currants and raisins and prunes. But she used to stew down civet oranges and various kind of fruits.
And this would come off the tree in the yard?
Yes, you pick the oranges, especially the very, and even the we made the, we could buy citron. But we made mixed peel, orange peel and grapefruit
peel, right.
And so on.
So just for my own information, what is a civil orange?
That's what we call, we call it sour orange.
Oh, it's a sour orange.
The sour one, but the correct name is, it came from Seville in Spain. So it's really Seville oranges. That's the correct term. But,
I got you.
So
I mean, I don't even remember a sour orange.
Is it bigger than
the regular orange?
Yeah, you couldn't eat it, but you use the juice of it to make a drink. You could, you want. We say lemonade for everything, but you make a civil orange drink, and then we have orangeade with the sweet orange. But when you really wanted a tart drink, you use the civil orange, and by the way, wet sugar.
Right,
that's,
I remember wet sugar.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so delicious.
Yeah, well, she used to use the orange and stew it up and put it. We didn't have any special mill, so the beef mill would do all the grinding. And we had our own the orange peel and so forth. But when they made the cake, and that was another thing, we never had any ovens at home big enough for the Christmas cake. So the lady who has a bread bakery down the road, that's where the Christmas cakes went, in the big pudding pans. So it was like a procession when Mama mixed up and my grandmother and all these ladies. Then the boys would take these tins of things and walk down to the bakery. And the baker put them in and baked them. But the plum pudding didn't go to the bakery.
That was cooked in a pot.
A pot. You use a kerosene tin. And
you built a fire
in the yard outside. Then they got a tablecloth or whatever, a white linen, what you call it, forine, whatever, that is calico, something. They damped it. That is when the mixture is ready. And they floured that because the damp would keep the flour stuck on the cloth.
On the surface,
then they poured the stuff into that, looped up the ends and tied it, pushed a stick through the knot, and lowered it into the boiling water.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes,
you mean after it's in the baking pan?
It's not in any tin. That's what the... No, you don't have a tin for this. It's going to be boiled.
Oh,
so some
just boiled by itself?
You boil pudding.
It's not in a container?
You get a big piece of cloth, whether it's,
they call it
forine or cambric, whatever it was. And they wet the cloth, spread it out, and sprinkled flour. So the flour now sticks to the cloth.
Uh-huh.
And then you pour the mixture. The mixture was not too liquidy. Into that, gathered up the ends and knotted it. So the bottom of the pudding
and
put it
into the boiling water. I have never seen that process. I never even heard of that process.
Put it down in the boiling water, and they had to keep... So you had another fire with water keeping boiling to pour into the big one that is cooking the pudding. And that was usually done like the 22nd or the 23rd, because that's a whole day thing to keep the water boiling to make sure that pudding is cooked. So that pudding, that was the, they called it boiled pudding, but that was the English plum pudding tradition coming down to us.
Right.
So the pudding, and then they made rum sauce or all kind of things to put on that. They had to warm it up again, here's a joke, on Christmas Day, because it was usually made with suet, beef suet in the pudding. And you know, when that gets cold, it gets clummy. So they had to warm the pudding on Christmas Day, and that was after the dinner. Oh, God, you're so full. But the pudding was after the dinner. So Christmas was a lot of eating. But my fondest memories of Christmas was before Christmas, actually. The church, Christmas for us was most a religious holiday. Religious observances, we had the whole Christmas pageants, Christmas programs, concerts, cantatas around the theme of the birth. So we'd have plays about the shepherds on the field. We'd have, you know, the whole works. And that was a big part. Plus we had, like, 2 weeks before Christmas and even after, all the young ladies of, like, in the later teens, woke up very early. Count me out, I was never in that. Woke up very early, dressed, and went out singing carols.
Oh, carolers.
Yeah, that was, it was beautiful. And I would love to listen to them, but lady, I wasn't one of those getting up early, I can tell you.
Let me ask you something. When they did go out as a group, did they wear all wear the same colors, or they wear Christmas colors, or what?
No,
what did...
they just wore their ordinary clothes. But the nice thing was that some people had hot chocolate to give them. Some of the singing was like at night too, and some in the morning, but they would always get some hot chocolate or something, you know. That was
right,
nice.
But, and in the country, the houses weren't close together, were they?
Not very close. Sometimes you'd come upon three or four, then you walk about two chains before you come to another, you know. But it was
everybody got a lot of exercise.
It was quite safe. That was the thing. It was very, very safe.
Now, was it all ladies, or were there any men in the group?
No, these were the young, these are the younger ones, the girls on the church choirs, and the schoolgirls, the older schoolgirls. That was their thing. Oh, somebody mentioned dolls. No, I personally was not a doll person, but my older sister was. But I remember the China dolls, the little white.
Yes, I remember those.
With hair, everything was painted on, and if it dropped from you, the head would break.
The body
was a cloth body with sawdust in it. Then the next kind of dolls came was a wax doll.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean.
Laurel must be a younger person. She talked about the wax doll.
She maybe didn't know about the other ones.
Then after that came
the sleeping dolls.
I remember that too.
And, you know, most children that got them are pulling off the eyelashes.
Yes, I remember the eyelashes.
Yes.
And those dogs were always blonde.
Blonde with blue eyes.
Yes, blonde dogs.
Yes. Well, now, and the boys would be getting tops and cricket bats and balls and all those. My favorite thing was this, what we call starlights.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
I love the starlights.
Sparklers,
you know,
we call them sparklers.
I was scared. Sparklers, that's right. I was scared to hold them, but I love them. And then we call them fire rockets. They would make the noise. And in my days, they called the huge ones, they called them squibs. And just as
yes,
he said,
now I remember that name.
That name. They put them under a tin, and the tin would fly up in the air and so forth.
Right.
So, but another thing down in our part of the world, the north wind is blowing. So it was kite season. We had kites at that time and at Easter. And the most colorful kites, and the boys are on the beach, and the kites are flying over the sea. Because the wind was, it was clear and strong and no trees. That was a very colorful thing. And so many beautiful big kites because they use a wild cane to make the wooden part.
The frame.
Bamboo. Yeah. And then they used tissue paper in all colors. They were
colors. I remember that.
So that was a big thing, the kite flying at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Don't let me forget the junk canoe. Now, the junk canoe, which can be spelled John Canoe or J-U-N-K-O-N-N-U or K-U-N-N-U, it's really a traditional dance of African origin.
Right.
Performed mainly at Christmas in Jamaica. And the groups of people, they had, it had music, it had dancing, it had miming. And also there were symbols. For example, you'd have a king, a queen, a devil, a ghost. Then they would have a whipping boy. I don't know who or what he was supposed to be. A beggar man. And they would have like
so there
a
were
horse.
Different characters.
Yes,
then.
Horse
yes.
head and cow head, which would be a person with this thing on top of his head. They would have a bride and a groom, of course.
Oh,
and
yes, now that you say it, I remember that.
Yeah, and they had beggar
But they
man.
Always had a mask, the bride, even the bride had a mask. Yes, I remember
and
that.
They, costumes were beautiful. They were fantastic and colorful, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the music usually was a five drum and something else. What, it must be a grater, but there was something making another sound noise besides the fife and the drum. There were other things that they used to make music. And I don't know where they got the energy, but they would walk miles,
mm-hmm.
you know, from one
and
village
it was
to the other.
All over the island simultaneously.
Yes, every village, as it were. Not every village could have a John Canoe band, but let's say Little London might have a big band, and then you have to go 12 miles to Sheffield before there's another band. Niggrill never had a band of its own, but the bands from other places came. Sheffield
came
band
from there, yes,
walked the
yes.
3 miles and came down there to perform all the time. But when we went to live at Frome now, oh, you had bands coming from different villages, and Frome being a place where they would get money, they always came through Frome. So we saw a lot of them that time there.
Okay, so just now I remember, when they do their performance for you, you give them money.
You people give them money. That was the
it,
whole point,
yes.
But yes.
And for the foreigners who might not know where Frome is, and I'm sure everybody knows where Niggrill is. But the places you mentioned would be
okay.
at the north coast of the island, and there you're talking about
Westmoreland,
west right?
West coast. We're looking straight across at Mexico
right.
or Guatemala somewhere. Yeah, Sablamar is sort of southwest coast, and you go inland. Because we could go by canoe, a small boat, from Niggrill to Sablamar, which is on the south coast, or go from Niggrill to Green Island to Lucita Monte, could be on the north coast. So Niggrill is directly due west. It's the most western part of the island.
Right,
another thing
right.
I need to mention is the sorrel.
Uh-huh.
The sorrel is really a plant of the hibiscus family.
Right.
And it's funny, it seemed to be only in Jamaica that we make the sorrel drink. The Native Americans up here do not use that part of it. They use the leaves and everything. And I must tell you how I come to know that. One, near Christmas, a friend of Stevie's came up to him, my son, with a whole lot of sorrel buds on this stalk without any leaves. So I said, where you got that, man? He said, some Indians live near where he lives in the southwest. And they had this
American
beautiful, beautiful field of sorrel that he was so envious of the sorrel and wanted to approach them to ask him to sell him some at Christmas time. Lo and behold, he says, he looks out one day and all the leaves are gone, but the stalks are standing with the sorrel, the part we use, which is really the... After it blooms a
flower-like
flower. It's called the sepals and the calyx. And so he asked the man, what are you going to do with that? He said, leave it there to rot in the field. The man said, you don't use that? He said, no. We took what we want already. He said, may I have it? He said, take all of it. So this Jamaican fellow went to work and he reaped a hole, you can imagine. So he started bundling it up and selling, but he brought some for Stephen. So that's when we learned that they use the leaves and the young, but they don't use the buds. This is really the fruit and the seed pod. So it's another thing about, we make it, it's our traditional Christmas drink with ginger and allspice, pimento, which is allspice, sometimes a bit of cinnamon, nutmeg, spices, cloves, anything. You can dry the sorrel and keep it for months, and or you use it fresh. It doesn't matter which way you use it. The flavor
does
is the
make,
same.
Does it taste different if you use the fresh?
Does anyone know? I think the fresh sorrel has a different, but I don't think it's much different. The dried one maybe is a little stronger. That could be because maybe you use more. You know,
right.
A cup full of dried sorrel would have more sorrel in it than a cup full of the fresh one because they are bigger and fatter. So the fresh sorrel has a beautiful flavor, but I think the dried one is stronger.
Right.
And,
the fresh sorrel is beautiful. I mean, even as a decoration, it's gorgeous.
Yes, well, we have huge stalks of it in flower arrangements. You know, you get a nice stalk.
I've actually seen it in flower arrangements.
Yes,
but
we have used it, yes.
Oh, in Jamaica?
In Jamaica, yes.
Really?
When you, if you grow it in your, yes, you can cut a nice, you know, like
right,
a 18 inch.
I should think it would make a beautiful arrangement.
It's beautiful.
You know,
it's beautiful.
Kingston girl on, born
okay.
on the clock.
I'm a country girl.
Have a lot
of
growing in my yard.
And the thing about the house, cleaning and making up all these curtains and bedspread, that was definitely how it went.
I think that was island-wide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Somehow
everybody
that was going
that.
On.
Yes.
There are some things that are different in different parishes, but there are some things that I know it seems like everybody was doing the same thing, and that is the spring cleaning, as we would call it here, and having new things.
No, they do it at Christmas. Oh, there's another thing, too. My family wasn't in much for toys. Daddy, I don't think Daddy ever bought a toy in his life. He bought books and games and puzzles, stuff like that. I always got books at Christmas time. But we got clothes. We got new shoes. Everybody had to get new dresses for Christmas service Sunday, Christmas Sunday. And that was when, like the young lady mentioned, that we were getting stuff from Hong Kong. We had those pretty parasols.
Oh,
and they were made of paper.
Oh,
my God. So at Christmas time, if you got a yellow dress, you got a yellow parasol.
Oh,
and everything matched. So Christmas Sunday, people going out to church. Oh, my God. It was beautiful.
Beautiful,
all little girls dressed up and everything. And we always had special renditions of Christmas songs and so on. But basically, it was more of a religious thing. But
in the old days, it was more about celebrating, as they would say here, the reason for the season and family and eating.
Yes.
Even that has changed now. I was reading some blogs online.
Listen, people would try to get home for Christmas, no matter how wayward or how far away they were. They tried to get home for Christmas. But coming back to food, different parishes had special kind of food for Christmas. Some had special soup, like St. Elizabeth and their gungu soup, which was a Christmas Eve thing. And I'm telling you, as a school girl, meeting girls from St. Elizabeth and hearing about this gungu soup, that the spoon could stand up in it.
It's like a stew, just the peas alone.
You know, after I was married and had my two children, a girl that used to sit beside me for 1 year in school, her husband and my husband were working at the same place. So she invited us, she was going home to take gifts and so on to her family in St. Elizabeth, Malvern, and she invited me to go along. And lady, I found myself looking at the pot of gungu soup. They would not understand why I was so excited. But I'd been hearing about this thing from I was like 14 or 15. And I'm just meeting it. And the spoon really could stand up in it.
And so you got to taste it?
I got to taste it, yes. What makes the spoon stand up in it, you know, is the amount of cassava.
That place is known for cassava and the bamis
and the gungu. So it was, and they seemed to collect meat for that soup. They corn their meat, put it in these, so that there's a lot of meat in it, and all different kinds, beef and goat and sheep and pig, everything was in it, and all the yam and potato and the cassava dumpling and everything. And then I can remember that area grows scallions and onions.
Uh-huh.
So it was a delicious soup. I can tell anybody about the St. Elizabeth soup. And whatever parish has their kind of food. And,
so what would you say it was in your parish?
Well, we just
like the gungu is for St. Elizabeth. What would be for Westmoreland?
We didn't really have, we had our roasted breadfruit, but we were more, what would you call, like a negril, It would be fish, all kind of fish stew and fish fry and stuff like that. And, well, of course, I tell you something else. Quite a few families would have a pig fattening for Christmas. And they would butcher that pig, and so that other people who would get meat. And the cow would be killed, or a bull, or whatever they had. So we had beef, too. My father was a sportsman, so we would have more ducks and birds than we could use. So we always had a lot of roasted ducks.
A variety.
Yeah. But I think basically curried goat in Westmoreland, because of the Indian population, everybody loves curry goat. Whether you're Indian or not, you eat curry goat. So that is one of the things that they would have a lot of. The curried goat. And one Christmas story in my family is really not funny. Daddy used to shoot for prizes, and the prize was usually a ham. So one year, he had 7 hams. So Mama must have given away a few and everything. Anyhow.
No, these were imported hams, or hams that were cured.
No, we
there.
Didn't make hams there at that time. They didn't. Okay. No, we didn't even have any. Thing like that. Everything came from abroad.
All right.
Butter came from New Zealand or somewhere else. New Zealand butter.
Right, New Zealand, I remember.
Yes, New Zealand, of course.
So, Mama had these hams, didn't know, she gave away a few, but poor young thing, she decided to, you know, have all her relatives and Daddy's relatives and everything, and have a big spread. So, she had this beautiful thing, and Daddy's father, they called him Old Joe. They say he lived to be 105, but I don't know whether that's true or not. But he was at the table, guest of honor, and they come in. When they pulled off the tablecloth and he just looked with disgust at my father, and he said, "Boy, that's pork." Guess what? He was a Muslim by religion.
Oh, really? And they didn't know?
They didn't
Your
know.
Your mother
they,
didn't know.
No, they didn't know. You know, he just walked away from the table because he couldn't eat anything there because the ham was on the table with the food. I'm telling you, I grew up on that one when Mama, she started crying because everybody was upset. But that was it. And they didn't really understand. They knew that he had an aversion to pigs. Nobody could rear a pig near to him and so on and so forth. But they just didn't cook pork at home. But they didn't realize it was so serious with him. It was.
Oh, you know, I see. Yes,
that
I got you.
Was nearly spoiled for my poor mom because of my grandfather. And, you know, they did not realize the man was a Muslim. I'm the one that lived to really dig into it and find out because of everything around him. I say, you mean all of you didn't realize your grandfather was a Muslim, your father was a Muslim.
Isn't that something?
In Jamaica, which a lot of people don't understand. Some of the Indians who came were Hindus, some were Pathans, and some were Muslims.
I didn't realize that.
They all had to become Christians, you know. But they kept their little things because there is a festival that happens around in the spring. We call it Jose.
I'm familiar with it.
You know about that one? But
I've witnessed several, you know.
With all those temples and things that they make.
Right,
but it's a Muslim festival, and it's in honor of Muhammad's grandsons who were killed in some war.
Right.
And that's why the people say Hassan Hussein and so forth when they are dancing. It's in honor of this grandson of Muhammad, who was killed. So it's really a Muslim thing, not Hindu or anything else. But guess what?
I thought it was Hindu because most of the Indians were. But I really enjoyed it whenever it was performed
Denmark. They still have it in Clarendon Parish because Clarendon seemed to be mostly Muslims, but not all. 2 years ago, I went to a Hindu wedding up in, north of me here. I don't remember the name of it.
In Florida, where you are.
Yes, in Florida. But the people came from Clarendon.
Oh.
The boy's a university graduate up here. His mother's a university graduate. But they are Hindus. They had to marry Hindu festival. And the old family, old grandfather and everybody came up from Jamaica. So
oh,
we went up.
Interesting.
It's what's the town on the Gulf Coast?
Of Florida?
Yeah, I can't remember. You know, my brain is going. Mm-hmm. But
that's all right. Said, welcome
that's
to
where
the club.
That's where we went. And we had to stay over. It was strange that these are Indians from Jamaica that went
Jamaica,
to school with everybody
yes.
and everybody.
Yeah, a lot of foreigners wouldn't realize how much there are still different ethnic backgrounds
different
that are still
ethnic,
participating
yes.
in their original culture, you know?
Yeah, it is.
So most of the, not all, but a lot of foreigners just think that they're just one kind of people in Jamaica and they're all doing
right.
the same thing.
They don't understand.
Even for me, growing up in a Christian family,
mm-hmm.
as I say, I never thought that there were kids my age at the time that were not celebrating Christmas because I knew nothing about the other religion.
That's quite true.
So I never thought that there could be
a teenager who was not
celebrating Christmas.
Actually, that's after I left school before I knew that because I'm going to school and all the kids are Presbyterian, Anglican, Catholic.
Right,
We never had any other. And so when we met upon people now in the world who didn't, they're strange and weird to me. So you go into history and you find out. And a lot of stuff now that we would normally take for granted, if you really got into the historical background of it, you'd really wonder. But it is so. The Adventists, for example, they don't celebrate any of those because they say, no, this one came from where and that one came from where. And
yes, yes, I
know,
because we had a Adventist. I don't know if she's Adventist now, but I don't know if she's still on. Carl's wife was saying that the college she went to, you know, was an Adventist college, so
mm-hmm.
things were different.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Jenny, your stories have been very interesting, and I'm so glad that you were able to share it with us.
Thank you.
Like to tell the audience? I want to encourage seniors to really embrace this technology and leave their stories. So would you mind telling the audience how old you are?
I don't mind. I will
be
81 on the 28th of December.
Wow.
I'm looking
you have a
forward
birthday
to
coming
it.
Up.
Yes, my birthday is in December, and I'll be 81.
Wonderful.
And
well, bless you. I know you're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And that will be a great birthday for you.
Yeah.
Does it fall on a Wednesday? What day it falls
on? I think it's going to be on a Wednesday, yes, because...
Oh, my
goodness,
so we'll be able to wish you happy birthday.
Oh, yes, I forgot that. Yes, it's a Wednesday.
Yes,
Wednesday,
that will be great.
Yes.
It will be my pleasure. I see 718-565 have their hands up, so I'm going to open the mic.
All
well,
right. Thank you for
yeah,
having
who do
me.
We have?
And I'm still listening in.
Yes, and your mic is open. Who do I have from 718-565?
Nelly.
Oh, hi, Nelly. Good
but
evening.
Everybody, they have said everything. I don't have to say much more than in Kingston, where I grew up, we had the John Canoe. And Christmas morning, I was always afraid of them, you know, because of the costumes. But my father would pay for them to come in the yard there and dance first, but I would run from them because, you know, the different costumes and they would come around at Christmas. But we would bake a cake and have the ham. We would have that Christmas ham and we had the Christmas tree. And we would hang up in the living room, what we call pretty paper.
Yes.
You know, strips, and then they would decorate it. But then later on in life, you had the lights. But before that, my father would import the dolls for us and all the toys. and they had Christmas market. But because we were young, we were not allowed to go. But the boys would go to King Street and shop Christmas, just for the fun of it, not to buy anything, though. But Christmas in Jamaica is really nice, and we would have that sorrel. But I found out that the people in the country, they would make ginger beer. In Kingston, we didn't make ginger beer for Christmas, but they would make ginger beer in the country parts.
Some places, yes.
No, let me just ask if you might know, does sorrel grow all over the island?
I know it grew in Kingston.
Yes.
I would think it grew all over the island.
Yeah, I think so.
And I know there are some things that grow in some parts and don't in the others. So sorrel grows all over.
Yes, and we had the Christmas flowers. You know, that Christmas in Jamaica is really beautiful because of what we had, you know. Didn't even rain. I don't remember it raining in at Christmas.
Now, can anybody, how would you, Miss Nelly, how would you describe, are you familiar with the cantatas?
Yes, the churches would have it. I went to Lyndhurst Methodist. And then we would have that at Christmas. And sometimes, because St. Andrew High School was associated with Lyndhurst, they would have concerts up there. That's what I remember. And then
so
we from Lyndhurst would go. All the Methodist people would go.
Right. What is the difference between a concert and a cantata?
Don't ask me. You have to ask Lay that.
I don't know if he's on
concert
the board
is where different people get up and sing. You know,
yeah,
and I think the cantata is
I see a hand
singing
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We might have an answer. I see 646479 with her hands up. So welcome to the backyard. You've got Margaret. Who do I have?
Yes, now that there's a cantata, we might as well get together and have a cantata.
Will you tell the audience who you are, sir, and where you're calling from?
I'm calling from New York, the Bronx, the home of the New York Yankees.
Yes, sir.
Big joke.
I found that description of Christmas was very, very intriguing. The one that went before Miss Jenny.
Yes.
Yes, Carl and his wife.
And Carl and his wife. I mean, everyone had its different flavor, and that's what Christmas is all about. In Jamaica, you have a lot of different people coming from a lot of different districts and places, and each one will have its own flavor. But Christmas in Kingston, I can remember when I was about 16 or 17, thereabouts, I was able to have a drink. And
really? Of what?
I get to get 16.
Well, no, the point I'm making is that when you have to do, as the older men would say, the rounds. That was a must. You have to do the rounds. And if you are a youngster, 16, 17, and you're, as we would say, cottoning on with the older men, well, you may end up having a sorrel and then some white rum and chasing the sorrel.
the rum was in the sorrel.
Yeah, but getting back to the cantata is in the old, very old church was a sung ecclesiastical chant. That's the biblical connotation, but. A choral composition comprising of choruses, solos, recitatives, and interludes, and would have usually an accompanist, like an organ, a piano, or an orchestra. All of that comes under the head of a cantata. So,
right, that's
it might take different forms, but that's what a cantata is. Cantata comes from the Latin word singing, you know.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, it has to do with singing, whatever way you want to interpret the singing.
Well, I always thought of it, or when I was asked to explain it, to me it was like almost like an opera.
Yes,
where they're singing a story.
It could be like that. Remember, I just said recitative, and
that's
the story.
But it's all about religion and, you know, about the event.
That's how it originated.
Yes,
so you can. I remember going to cantata up the road from where I used to live, my grandmother's church.
You want to tell the audience where that would be?
That's Lincoln Road. There was a Presbyterian church not so far away, and that my grandmother used to go to that church. So at Christmas time and also at Easter, they would have cantatas, and it was very interesting. You know, it was like a little play in itself.
Right. I loved them. I really, really loved them. I have vivid memory of cantatas.
Yeah. So that's the story on cantatas.
St. George's used to have garden party. All the Roman Catholic churches around would have garden parties.
Yes.
And you walk up and down King Street New Year's Eve night, Christmas Eve night, from the top of King Street to the bottom of King Street.
Uh-huh. Right.
You would do as a teenager, yes.
Well,
and you remember, we would go down to Victoria Market at the end of King Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
anybody remember that?
At night, now in around 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock, you just walk up and down King Street.
That's what you would do, Nelly.
No, that is a tradition in Jamaica. The older boys walk up and down because they're doing Christmas shopping, and they just walk up and down.
All the stores were closed at that time.
Exactly right, Carl. And what we had to do as Catholics, we had to make sure that you get back uptown or into your parish to go to Mass, midnight Mass. That was the culmination of what Christmas is all about. And it came out a little bit in some of the discussions tonight that Christmas is basically a religious thing, even though you know, we tend not to remember that phase of it. It's a religious
reason for the season. Yes, yes,
for the season.
Or everybody did that, and you get up early Christmas morning and go to church.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
we go to 5 o'clock Christmas service, you know.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask one question of all the people who participate, if I may. We have 12 minutes left. And I'll start with you, Carl. What do you think you miss most of a Jamaican Christmas?
I would say it is really the day after Christmas, which is, of course, Boxing Day. In Jamaica, you know, it's a public holiday.
Right.
And after opening our presents and things on Christmas morning, we'd look forward to Boxing Day, the day we would do the rounds, as the last speaker spoke about. When you were old enough, you'd go to various people's yards and get a drink from them.
Uh-huh.
If you were very young, you'd probably get some sorrel. If you're a little older, you'd probably get a taste of the rum or whatever.
Right.
I remember that
very
vividly. That Boxing Day was a great day. The day when
you had your presents,
what you got, and it's time to celebrate with your friends.
Right, and I suppose your wife can't speak for that because she was not celebrating.
Too young for that.
Well, would she like to say something? You can ask her for me.
Laurel.
Is she on the mic?
She's coming.
People up here now changed. They're putting up the Christmas tree, and they're wearing the jewelry, and they're doing everything like everybody else.
Right,
they might not
eat
the pork, but they are doing everything else like everybody else. That's why they call them bad dentists.
You know, there was a time in Jamaica, There was a time in Jamaica, Margaret.
That's interesting, Miss Nelly. Is that Miss Nelly I'm hearing?
Yes, that's the truth. They put up the Christmas tree. They do everything else.
Everything.
And they're wearing the jewelry. The Adventist people never used to wear rings and all
they're
that.
They're calling
but
them
now they're doing everything like everybody else.
That's funny.
The truth is
funny.
Coming
that's
home.
Funny.
They're reading the Bible more often.
You know, there was a time in Jamaica where we didn't have any hams, you know, because ham was a real feature of Christmas time. The ham used to come in a very thick
black
burlap
wrapping.
Yeah.
And
you had to cook it for hours.
And we boiled it for Christmas. It was boiled.
Yeah.
Right. You had to boil it.
The smell of that
delicious. Oh, my gosh. The smell was unbelievable.
Right.
I still remember. That smoky smell.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Miss Nelly, what do you miss most?
My parents. I miss my family at Christmas.
Oh, yes. That's beautiful.
I miss everybody. This Christmas it will even be worse because, like, I've lost 3 friends. So
at
Christmas,
I'm sorry to hear
that. You know, I try to play it down. It's another day.
Yes, yes, yes. But you're still here.
Yes.
So we have to celebrate you. Miss Nelly, what do you miss most?
I told you.
You did?
I said I miss my family. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's Miss Nelly. Okay, Miss Jenny.
Oh,
are you still Miss Jenny?
Early
coming.
Yeah, I'm ready. I miss the preparation that we had at home, and even when I had my own setup, the preparation, like the day before Christmas on the 23rd, the baking and the excitement with the children and the fixing up of the curtains and that kind of stuff. I don't do it anymore, and I don't, you know. So I miss that. I really don't feel like Christmas to me without. I mean, we used to make all these fruit cakes and plum puddings and stuff, you know. Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
I'm getting ready
really
to make
that
Christmas cake shortly.
Mm-hmm.
So you better
Correct.
Let me taste it, Margaret.
Sure,
come
on down.
I'd like to taste your Christmas cake.
Oh,
but
yes.
But don't ask me for mine. I don't do a good job.
Oh,
I like
to
bake.
Sure
I like to bake. But I want to taste yours. Or you can go
okay.
that good
all
recipe.
Right. That's
yeah,
a promise.
Mind.
Okay, Mr. May?
Well, for me, I always miss my mass. We had a midnight mass, and the midnight mass in the old days was very elaborate.
It was a high mass.
Well, it's a high mass, but it's a little more than a high mass in both in its preparation and the characteristics of it. We had to go to rehearsals for the choir. From like September on, right up to midnight mass. And I, as an individual, I would return to Jamaica every Christmas as much as I could. Even when I was in the service, I would take time off and go back to my old parish, and they would let me sing in the choir. And that was
how beautiful that is.
That was the best feeling that one can ever
that's
experience.
Wonderful. May I ask you something? Are they still having a high mass at midnight?
They do, but in a lot of areas, they discontinued high mass at Christmas at 12 o'clock. And the same high mass, the Christmas mass, would be like at 7:30, 8:30 in the evening, for different reasons in different areas of the country.
Right. Well, at this time, I'd like to ask if there's anyone on board. I see 631-451-973-373-917-441. If you'd like to tell us what you miss most about the old-time Christmas, would you hit 1 on your telephone, and I'd be more than happy to open up the mic to you. So feel free if you are so led. As you know, it's a relaxed conversation when we have a labrish, but I just want to take the few minutes we have left to really, really thank everybody for participating, because, you know, we're all helping each other, as well as, to me, helping the next generation. So let me open up the mic for 631-451. Hold on 1 minute. You're live, and you've got Margaret and the rest of the crew. Who do I have?
I'm Margaret. This is Janine from Long Island.
Welcome, Janine.
Hi.
What do you miss most?
I really miss the togetherness. Everybody was so happy and together, and even if you weren't family, it's like, you know, everybody was so together. You know,
yes, it's everything. A period of joy. I just
yes.
remember pure joy.
Yes.
That's, you know, I'm sure there were people on the island, like, having deaths in the family, like Miss Jenny, you know, has some people that have passed away. But I can't remember, for me,
you
have been sad around Christmas time.
No.
It was always joyous. Just pure joy is how I would describe it.
Yeah.
And I tend to, you know, we're all, there's challenges all over the world and in our personal life too. But I think if we can just take the time to go back to a period of joy and just celebrate that, because, you know, we're so fortunate to have had it.
Right.
Because if you think about it, there are so many people who cannot really say they experience what we're all talking about now.
Oh,
and, you know, people from different parts of the world who have had life really, really hard. I was reading stories online, you know, about people in different cultures that are having, or even people right here, right now, that are having such a hard time. And if they ever come by and listen to the show, I would encourage them, as I encourage all of us, to, no matter what you're going through now, take a moment to go back to that period of joy. And if you can bring it to your, you know, into now, it will help to make whatever you're going through a little easier. So that's the gift I would like to give everyone for Christmas, both my fans and those who may come by later, to let this be a period where we can reach, no matter what we're going through, back to a period of joy that we had. And as Jamaicans growing up, when we did, we had so much we can draw from, don't we all?
Yes.
Do I have here an amen or a yes?
Amen. It is, you know, you make Christmas where you are, but it's entirely different growing up in Jamaica. It was something that it was, you don't forget.
Magical.
Yes, yes. It's the preparation, and you start from so early to do all these things, and, you know, so much was put into it. Now, to be honest with you, I don't enjoy Christmas here the way I used to enjoy it there.
No.
And then with my parents and some relative gone, I agree with that person. It makes it a little sad, you know. But then I have my memories, so I go back.
Right,
to Jamaica,
and that is what
with my family.
About.
Yes, with
get
my
us
family.
Back to that. Joy period.
Yes, it's good that we can still remember, you know.
Right.
Yes.
And not only that, you know, one thing triggers the other. I know that as several of the speakers were talking, and they said something, you know, about the clappers, about, you know, anything else, you would sort of have a flashback. Oh, yes, I remember
that. Yes, yes.
So I hope that you have all enjoyed
with
the time we've spend together, and that you tell your friends about Backyard Labrish so they can come and participate of some of the joy that we're spreading.
Yes.
And next week I'm going to do a little history of Christmas so that we can all, we're here to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve. So next week we're going to be enlightening ourselves about how some of these customs perhaps were started.
Okay.
So I hope that you'll all be with me and that you'll have a great week. At least you'll make it a great week. And remember that we're here each Wednesday, but even after Wednesday, people can listen to the show. So if you'd like to tell your friends, just send forward them the email that I send out, if they have an email, or they can get to backyardlavish.com and they will see the radio show right to the right. They can click on it. So we have a couple of seconds, and I'm going to use it to welcome my listeners online also, or those who may come by later, and to tell them that we're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica. And everybody now, land
we love.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night.
And Merry Christmas, all.
Yes. Bye-bye.
God bless. God bless you all.
Bye-bye. Thank you.